Nuketown Radioactive number 71 for Tuesday, September 9th, 2008. Summer's over and Nuketown Radioactive is back in the saddle as I talk about a different kind of game day, get ready for a Western-themed NukemCon 2008, and struggle with my review of Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. Remember me? I'm your host, Ken Nuquist, and this is the extremely rare podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. And, well, I hope you guys stuck with me through the unintended late summer hiatus as, I think it's been about 6 weeks since the last edition of Radioactive came out, but alas, folks, it could not be helped. It was just, it was just one long crazy summer. There was way, way too much work to do, which led to way, way few podcasts. But now the semester's underway at the college where I work, and I'm getting back to my regular routine ever so slowly. And, it's been a tiring, exhausting kind of summer, and I am very much happy that the semester has begun for a couple of reasons. In addition to things just kind of getting back to normal at the college, Jordan has begun kindergarten, which is pretty exciting for her. She's kind of slowly settling into things. It's been kind of tough for her because the Easton Area School District's been kind of crazy with their kindergarten schedule. I think of the first week of school, she went to school twice because they had this weird half day schedule and her kindergarten class didn't have to meet for like 3 days, and then they were on for 2 days and then they were off for a long Labor Day weekend. So long story short, she ended up going to school 2 out of 5 days in her first week of school. So you can insert your own air quotes there. But aside from that, she's kind of getting into it. You know, the bus schedule's been kind of crazy because she's not going to our local school. She's going to a school downtown. Because our local school is under construction for the year, she'll be back there next year. But for now, she has to go downtown, and that necessitates a whole new bus schedule. They have to come up with this new routine for getting the kids from our neighborhood downtown, and they've been having some trouble with it. The bus has been between 20 and 30 minutes late. I think the longest it was late was like 40 minutes, and hopefully they'll have all this shaken out within probably another week or two. But I think that's been a little bit disconcerting for her. Aside from that, she seems to enjoy it. She comes back from school just completely kind of shell-shocked. You ask her what she did at school, and she's just like, I don't want to talk about it right now. There's too much stuff. So we just kind of let her chill out and then come back to it later on. The other thing that we're discovering is homework. Yeah, I think she inherited my homework genes in so much as I don't really like doing homework when I was in school, and she has absolutely no interest in doing homework. So it's been something of a struggle to get her interested in it. But, it's still early. It's still kindergarten. You know, I think it's one of those things that as we all as a family get back into the whole academic groove, those kind of things should pretty much sort themselves out. Now, I did have a scare this start of the semester when my Mac at work decided not to boot, which was absolutely terrifying because I didn't have a good backup from, I had a good backup, but it was at least a month old. And that's just too far removed. I should say that, all of my really important stuff was backed up on a regular basis and I could easily have recreated my things. But, one-off notes, those kind of things, those would have been lost. Now, fortunately, one of my coworkers was able to resurrect my hard drive, and it appeared to be just a kind of one-off corruption thing. So the task that I'd been putting off all summer, which was basically upgrading my work machine to Leopard, I got to do in about the space of 2 days, which was just... a little bit more stressed than I really wanted. But at the same time, you know, it was one of these things where I meant to do it all summer. I just kept putting it off because I didn't have enough time. And well, my Mac was helpful enough to actually make the time for me. So that brings me to my PSA for this particular episode, which is, have you backed up your computer lately? Because really, guys, you don't want to get caught with your files. Well, you don't want to get caught with your files burned, you know what I mean? So I've got a good routine going right now. I had a FireWire drive at work that I was using for backup, but I didn't have a particularly awesome routine for doing all of my backups. I was using the Mac backup utility, but it wasn't particularly stellar. Now I am using Time Machine, which is much better. It's integrated right into Leopard. It does its thing whenever my computer is hooked up to the FireWire drive, and all is good with the world again. I haven't tried doing a full restore from it yet, but I think I'll probably borrow a laptop from somebody else at work and try and do a full restore just to see how it shakes out. But so far, I've been pretty happy with it, at least in terms of not generating any errors during the backup. My next step will be to get a FireWire drive for home, because unfortunately, I don't have one. I've been able to make do with backing up to DVD, but you know, that's kind of a piecemeal process. And while I have all of my essential stuff backed up to DVD, I'd really rather just be able to back it up to FireWire and then back up, you know, the really important stuff like Nuketown files, let's see, podcasts, music, to DVD, just to be able to have that dual redundancy. But I think that will probably have to wait until my next sci-fi check comes. Let's see, in other news, I got back to the gym. I have been trying to get back into my exercise schedule. You know, that's another thing that kind of fell by the wayside during the summer. And as a result, I kind of shot up a few pounds. I think I had been down to a high 190s way back in, I think, last spring. And over the summer, I creeped up to 213. So I have been endeavoring to get back to the gym, which is actually kind of hard, just because they close the pool at work during August. And inevitably, it seems like they close the pool whenever I've gotten back into a good swimming routine. Now that the semester's begun again, the pool's back open. The gym is open with early hours, which is great for both me and Sue, because then she can go to the gym in the morning if she wants to, or she can go to the gym late at night, which is also really good. And it works better for both of us, just because during the summer, the hours are constricted. You can only go from like 7, I think, until 8 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock. And with two kids, especially with two young kids, that just can be hell. So now we have the extended hours. I think you can go to the gym until like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night. So that's pretty freaking cool. And at least for me, I've started to see some results. I'm down about 6 pounds to 208 pounds. And well, you can keep up with how things are going by stopping by Nuketown. I did have two great game days this summer that were unlike the normal game days of playing Dungeons & Dragons that I have with my friends. Jordan and I made it to two Iron Pigs games, which was really just fantastic. The Iron Pigs are our AAA Phillies affiliate in the Lehigh Valley, and it's a beautiful stadium. It's called Coca-Cola Park. It's located just outside of Allentown off of Airport Road South, and anybody in the Lehigh Valley who hasn't been to the park really needs to go, because it's just a beautiful, family-friendly kind of place. Every half inning, they're doing some sort of an event to kind of keep kids interested, so, you know, running the bases or, you know, little competitions that are going on the big screen TV, that kind of thing. It was really just a nice place. I mean, I don't think there's a bad seat in the house, and it was cheap. It cost me, let's see, the first time we went with my parents and our whole family, so me, Sue, and the two kids, and it was like $9 a piece. So that was, you know, less than $60. Let's see, for then I was able to go again with just me and Jordan, and we borrowed some friends' season tickets, and that was just nice to just kind of have the two of us hanging out at the park. We had great seats just behind home plate. I think we were like five or six rows back from home plate, and while we didn't stay for the whole game that time, it was still just, it was fun to be able to go there for a night game, kind of have the sun setting, the big lights coming up on the field, and to just kind of hang out, you know, father-daughter. So I'm really looking forward to doing it again next year. And I think next year I'll probably get some sort of like season ticket type pass, not necessarily season tickets where we have the whole season, but you know, to get like a 6-pack or a 12-pack of games or something like that. Cause I would love to be able to go like every other week or something to see the home games. Cause although the Iron Pigs haven't been particularly great this season, I think they ended something like 30 games out of first place. It was still just a fun experience to be there, to watch the game. And actually we split it. We had a winning game the first time we went and a losing game the second time we went. So for us, it actually worked out pretty good. Now, getting back to a more geeky game day, my gaming group's huge, I shouldn't say huge convention. Our huge event is coming up called NukemCon, which is our homegrown gaming convention. I talked about this about 2 years ago. And the idea behind NukemCon is that my friends and I used to go to Gen Con religiously. I think from 1999 until 2002, we went to all those Gen Cons. And then a couple of us went to one or two Gen Cons beyond that. But for the last couple of years, we hadn't gone. Now, in 2007, we did go because we made a concerted effort to get everybody back out to Indianapolis. But this year, you know, with the way the economy's been and just the way people's vacation time shook out, it just wasn't doable. So in the years where we don't go to Gen Con or Origins or some other big con, we decided, hey, you know what? We really enjoy hanging out with each other. We really enjoy kind of the mental break we get by having this convention or being able to go to Gen Con and being able to go out to eat with your friends and drink beer and have steak and just have fun completely unrelated from work. So we decided to have NukemCon, which is our little homegrown convention. We get together our extended gaming group, so it's about 10, 11 people, and we game for 3 days straight. We take off on Friday, and we start at, I think, like 8 o'clock in the morning, and we play until 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, and it's just all gaming nonstop. This year, we're actually going with kind of a Western theme where we'll be focusing on games that, well, we bought but never got around to playing. So this includes Aces and Eights, which was the really big popular game from Gen Con 2007 that I think two or three guys in my group actually bought books for. Deadlands Reloaded, which is something I just bought within the last couple of months, which is a Weird West, Savage Worlds powered Western game. There's Serenity, which is based on the whole Serenity / Firefly universe. And finally, the last game is a little indie game called Dogs in the Vineyard, which has been getting a huge amount of press within the gaming podcast industry, within the gaming podcast, what do we want to call it? Genre, I guess. Anyway, a lot of people have been talking up Dogs in the Vineyard and just how cool it is and just how the different mechanics really encourage a different kind of role-playing experience. It's something I wanted to play at Gen Con 2007, but I never got around to. So I'm really looking forward to trying it out this year at NukemCon. And I think I've got like four or five guys from the group signed up. So it should be really good. I'm really excited about it. We'll also be playing D&D. We're going to be doing a high-level adventure Saturday night that I'm running with another DM, which is going to be the Strike on Torishmok, in which the party will attempt to assassinate the leader of the Orcish Empire, which is something that I think they've been talking about doing for the last 4 or 5 years, but we just never got around to doing it because we were terrified of high-level play in Dungeons & Dragons. But we're getting better with that, and that's actually something new that started since the last podcast, which is my gaming group is tackling high-level play in Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 head-on. I got kind of tired of, partly people complaining about high-level play in D&D 3.5, because I don't think that it's as bad as people think it is. And my gaming group has been talking about it for a while, and it was kind of one of those things where I think we talked ourselves into believing that high-level play is much harder than it actually is. So I proposed something called the Asgard Project, which was, okay, let's get together the people who really want to do high-level play within our group, which is a subgroup of maybe 5 to 6 players, and we're going to get together and we're going to run through some of these high-level things, and we're going to see what works, what doesn't work, make recommendations to Paizo as part of the Pathfinder beta feedback thing, and you know, just basically say, you know, is it really that hard? We had our first play test in late July, and honestly, I think it worked really well, and I think ultimately what it came down to is prep. Everybody needs to do a really good job of prepping, and not just the DM. I mean, the DM needs to know what the monsters are capable of and needs to look up everything. And as I wrote on Nuketown, I think the problem with 3.5, at least, or the problem with high-level play in 3.5, at least from the Dungeon Master side of things, is that it takes so much time to put together. It takes, I think it took me like 10 hours to prepare for the session. Now, it probably would have taken a lot less time if I hadn't been watching Eureka while I was doing it. But that's one of the things that I learned, is that if I'm going to do a high-level session, I just need to sit down and kind of focus and not have the TV on in the background and just work on what I'm working on. Now, the other big side to this is that the players need to be prepared. Everybody needs to show up at the table knowing what their character is capable of doing. You can't have people kind of flipping through the books, trying to figure out what the heck it is that they're trying to do. People should come to the table knowing what their characters can cast. They need to come to the table knowing what their feats can do, because if they're looking up stuff at the table, it just slows things down and it takes forever to complete a combat. So during the first playtest, things went really well. We got through two fairly intense encounters in, I think, about 4 hours, which is slightly less than I was hoping for. I was hoping to be able to knock out three encounters, but we had some really good role-playing involved in there too, and it was our first session. So overall, I think that there are things that are difficult about 3.5 at high levels. Things like iterative attacks, where you can get 5-6 attacks in a round, can be problematic. It can be problematic when people have lots of spells and feats that can modify their attacks and they haven't done the math ahead of time. But all in all, I don't think it's nearly as intimidating as people thought it was. And we're going to keep up our playtests. And the next, I guess, iteration of that will be at NukemCon, where we do this high-level Assault on Taurus Mach, where we'll have characters ranging from levels, I think, 15 up to, like, 21. So I'm actually meeting with some friends tonight to kind of plot out that adventure and to figure out, okay, well, how can we keep this interesting for everybody who's going to be involved? Because we're going to have a grand total of, I think, well, probably about 11 players at the table. And to have that many players and to have a kind of that range of levels from 15 to 21, we need to put some thought into this. So I think it's going to be a hell of a lot of work, but I also think it's going to be a pretty cool adventure.
This is Fred Hicks from Evil Hat Productions. Send more games. Send more podcasts. Need podcasts. RPGpodcast.com.
So I've only got one site to talk about in NetHeads this week, but it's a huge site, and it is rpgbloggers.com, which is, where to start? Okay, so over the summer, Gleemax died. This was Wizards of the Coast's, how can I say this charitably? I won't say it charitably. Lame attempt at a social networking site for gamers. I really didn't like Gleemax when it launched, just because I thought it was a very stupid name. And honestly, they just never really delivered on anything that they had promised. I mean, there was some blogging, yes, and there were some forums, yes, but it never really took off and it never really did a lot of the things that, well, a social networking site should do. It was really just a kind of a glorified message forum from what I saw. And I ventured there occasionally to look at stuff for, games that I would be talking about in Knights of the Dinner Table or on Nuketown. But ultimately, it was just kind of not a place I wanted to hang out. Now it's dead. And shortly after it died, I guess a whole bunch of people decided to start talking about creating their own replacement for Gleemax. And they started contacting some bloggers and such, different people who blog about role-playing games. And the bloggers in turn said, well, you know, maybe we should just put together our own kind of central site for this sort of thing. Why don't we try and aggregate our own posts and kind of improve our own communities by pulling all these different bloggers together? Because, hey, all these other people are seeing value in what they're doing, so why don't we do that? So some folks at, Critical Hits and the Chatty DM and a whole bunch of other blogs decided to get together and create rpgbloggers.com. And what this is basically an aggregation site that pulls together dozens upon dozens of gaming blogs. To be honest, I mean, I have been covering role-playing game websites for I don't know how many years for Knights of the Dinner Table, and I had no idea that there were this many gaming blogs out there. I think I've written maybe 2 or 3 columns on gaming blogs, and I hadn't seen maybe even a quarter of the blogs that are now part of RPG bloggers. So that's really cool, and I'm very excited about it. Now, some of the sites that are included include, as I mentioned before, Musings of the Chatty DM, Uncle Bear, Critical Hits, The Core Mechanic, Stupid Ranger, Critical Ankle Bites, The Fine Art of the TPK, and Nuketown. I'm not nearly as prolific as some of the other guys who are on there, and women as well. But, man, it's just really nice to be part of that community. It has just been really cool, I think, to see all these posts coming together in one place, and also to just kind of see the cross-pollination between blogs as the community really discovers one another, and you see people jumping from blog to blog. I've seen certainly an uptick at Nuketown in terms of traffic and in terms of just people stopping by to talk about the stuff that I've posted, which, you know, as a blogger is something you're always looking for, right? Site divides content into a number of different categories, including 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, advice and tools, fluff and inspiration, game design, legacy D&D, news, reviews, and culture, other systems, play, and podcasts. And it's still a little rough around the edges, but it is really just been, I don't know, inspirational for me. I love reading about what other people are doing. I love getting into the nitty-gritty of theory sometimes. I love reading other people's reviews. And I think overall, this is just an awesome thing for this cottage community, cottage industry we call role-playing games. Because, you know, let's be honest, guys. You know, role-playing games aren't nearly as popular as they used to be. And we need to kind of raise our profile to remind people that we still exist. And I think that this is just an awesome opportunity for covering the sorts of things that the mainstream gaming press isn't necessarily going to be picking up on. I mean, you don't necessarily see IGN reviewing new role-playing games when they come out. Yes, they reviewed Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition, but if you're not D&D, you're not really seeing a lot of press. And I think that the RPGbloggers.com is an awesome way of just raising the profile of the bloggers, but also just the industry as a whole. I think it's just a good thing all around. So you can check it out at rpgbloggers.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Macklin. Quit it, you. And that's my partner, Ken Cheering. Together, we do a podcast called Master Plan. And I said, quit it. Master Plan is a podcast about game design. My guests and I talk about everything from noodling out an idea, fiddling with mechanics, doing playtesting, sitting down to write, and even doing that whole publishing thing that the kids are crazy about these days. If you're interested in hearing about game design, watch it. Or listen to your favorite game designers talk about what they love to do. One more time. Check us out at masterplan.libsyn.com. That's it. We're going back in the cage.
So back in July, when I was recording on a regular basis, I mentioned that I was planning on doing Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition for Radioactive number 71, which obviously hasn't happened because you've gotten to this part of the show and no review. But the good news is I did finally finish writing it, and I gotta say, guys, I really agonized over it. Even more so than when I was writing this review for Sci-Fi, because when we were writing it for Sci-Fi, I had two or three playtests under my belt and maybe, I think, the first campaign session. Now, we've been playing it for, well, the entire summer, so pretty much 3 months' worth of Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. And, well, there have been a lot of debate since then, and a lot of hands-on experience with the game. And I don't know, I think overall I find it to be a very frustrating edition, because there's a lot of things they did right, and at the same time there's a lot of things that, I don't know if it's so much that they did it wrong, but they did it wrong from the perspective of someone who's playing the kind of game that I play. Those of you who have been keeping up with Nuketown during the Radioactive hiatus know that I've already posted a game day column talking about how my gaming group won't be adopting 4th edition, primarily because it just doesn't fit with what we want to do with Dungeons & Dragons. We've been running a World of Greyhawk, Can you tell I've been doing home improvement over the last couple of weeks? It just doesn't fit our World of Greyhawk campaign. It's just too much of a change. And even the folks who really enjoyed 4th edition found that a lot of the assumptions that were made about 4E, the way powers work, the lack of really deep spell lists, that kind of thing, just didn't really jive with the way we run our D&D game. So for the first time in years, in a decade, our regular campaign will not be Dungeons & Dragons. We're actually switching over to Star Wars Saga Edition, And we'll be playing that for the next year while we wait for 4E to shake itself out and for the final version of Pathfinder to be released, which we are going to do a playtest as well. And it could be that ultimately Pathfinder becomes what we play instead of D&D. It is actually possible at this point in time that my group won't be playing D&D on a regular basis in years ahead. And that just kind of blows me away. No, we haven't made any decisions, and it's equally possible that we'll just keep playing D&D 3.5. But man, if you had talked to me a couple of years ago and said, oh yeah, when 4th edition comes out, you guys won't be playing it, I would have been shocked. And well, I guess right now I am shocked. Now, having said that, I have finally finished my review of 4th edition for Nuketown. It's up on Nuketown now, so you can go to www.nuketown.com and read it. If you want, though, you can wait, and it will be in Radioactive number 72, which will be all 4th edition all the time. If you have any comments about the show, I'd love to hear them. You can send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can also occasionally catch me on Skype. My username there is Nuketown. And finally, I Twitter the day away at twitter.com. My username there is Nukavik, and you can find my posts at www.twitter.com/Nukavik.